The speed limit? Well, you don't even drive. What are you?
Why you can't watch on TV.
But you don't get to decide the speed limit. That's true. What you can and can't watch on TV. What? What you do on the weekends? You don't get to decide that? Oh, your life stinks. Just kidding. What else? Dustin, what don't you get to decide for yourself? Think of it and let me know. Anybody else? Where you go? Like, what does that mean? Like for vacation? Yeah. How you look. Good one. Some, you can kind of do that. Like if you want to color your hair and put on more makeup or, you know, tie your shirt up in a little knot or whatever. What do you mean by the rules of the house? Like chores and stuff?
Yeah, stuff like that. Like,
make your bed. Discipline. Okay, yeah. What video games you can and can't watch? Give me a few more. Did you think of one? What? How late you have to be in, like when you have to come back home. Yeah.
Decide what, when Bodhi can come.
When Bodhi can come. What does that mean? Okay, you can't. Yeah, last time Bodhi was late. Where's Bodhi? Now he's not even here. Yeah, what? Consequences for your actions. Very good. Yeah. You can't decide if I'm going to be up here or somebody else. That's out of your hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're stuck with me if you're here. You can't you don't get to decide probably. Do you get to decide whether or not you come here? Who does not have the option? They're forced to come to Wake. Raise your hand. Nobody's forced? A few. Yeah, he's kind of forced. Okay. There's so many things. Shh. Now listen. There's so many things that are out of your hands. But I don't know if you realize this. All of those things you listed, I can understand for sure. Believe me, because I was your age once. I can understand how they are all very important to you. But put your phones away and listen. The most important things in life, the most fundamental, the biggest, most life-changing decisions that you have to make, guess what? You're at the point now where you get to make them yourself and nobody else can make them for you. Now, while you can't decide what you look like, you can decide how you're going to act. You can decide who you're going to be. You can decide who you're going to hang around. You can decide what you're going to believe. You can decide how you're going to treat other people. And those are things that will last for a whole lifetime. And you're at the point now, maybe when you were a little bit younger, your parents would tell you what to do, and you would do it without asking any questions, and they made all these decisions for you, and that was fine. But you're at the age now where you want to, and you get the chance to, make decisions for yourself. And so these next 3 weeks, we're just going to be talking about how do you make the decisions on the really big things that you get to decide. Here's one thing that's great about camp. Is anybody going to summer camp this summer, like Pine Cove or Kanakuk or T-Bar M or any of those, okay? Here's one of the greatest things about camp. When you go to camp, you kind of get a little bit more freedom than you have when you're at home, right? Like you kind of get to make a few more decisions. And I want to tell you a story. Some of you guys have heard this story before, but it's really kind of makes sense for what we're talking about this morning. So I want to tell it again. There's this kid in my cabin named Trent, okay? And Trent liked to eat. And Trent got to decide how much he would eat at each meal. And he would eat a lot. Now, Trent was a little dude. I mean, he was like, if he was in this room, he'd be the smallest guy in the room. He was a sixth grader when he was at camp, and he was tiny. He was just short and skinny, but he could eat. You know those people, those skinny, short people that just wolf down food, and they're like, "How? Where does it go?" You know, their ankles are all huge. And I mean, I don't know where it goes, but Trent was one of those kids. And he came to camp, and he was in my cabin, and the whole cabin, we were just amazed. This is when I was a counselor. We were amazed at how much food Trent could eat. And now, as a counselor, I was at Pine Cove. How many people have been to Pine Cove? Whoop. Yeah. Okay, good. The counselors, if you've been there, you might notice they always sleep in the bed that's on the bottom bunk right by the door, okay? And they tell us to do that so that you guys don't make the decision to sneak out at night. Now, that doesn't ever happen because, you know, we sleep there by the door with one eye open the whole time. We're like, and we grab people. So one night, I'm sleeping by the door. I'm asleep, and I hear the door open, and I missed. The guy got by me, and so I have a window on the other side. So I roll over, and I look out the window, and walking across the porch to the bathroom's right across the porch, was Trent, And I was like, okay, Trent's going to the bathroom. He's not running away or sneaking out. That's okay. And I kind of rolled over to go back to sleep. And when I roll over to go back to sleep, I'm kind of like, and I kind of smelled something. And I was like, oh my gosh, Trent farted. Right when he walked by me, like my head is right at Trent's butt level. And so I'm like, Trent walked by and just like right into my bed. And I'm like, that stinks. And it was one of those like, it was one of those like, there was a buffalo in the room and something happened and it was a mess. And so I'm like, gosh, that really stinks. And so I kind of tried to, you know, hold my breath for a second and go back to sleep. And I just kept smelling it. And I'm like, this is like the mutant fart that lasts forever. And so I keep smelling it. And I'm like, dude, I wonder if that dude like pooped his bed or something. And there's like some poop floating around the room or there's some sauce somewhere. And so I'm like, I better go check. I'm sorry about that. I said, I better go check on Trent. So I get up to go check on Trent. And right when I step out of my bed, Hershey's Kiss under my foot. I promise you. I just feel this little squish. And I'm like, what was that? And so I hop on one foot across the porch into the bathroom, and I get in the bathroom, look down, my worst fears are realized, there is a little spot of poo on the bottom of my foot. So, and it was on like my heel, like down here, and I had on pajama pants, because I sleep in pajama pants, and there was some poo on my pajama pants. And so I'm in the bathroom, I'm trying not to paint a picture here, but no shirt, just pajama pants. I have to take off my pajama pants have poo. And so, and I have my foot up in the sink. So I'm in the bathroom in my underwear, and I've got my foot up in the sink. I'm washing it off. I'm like, ah, poo! And I wash it off, and I turn around, and I don't really see Trent anywhere. I'm like, where did Trent go? And then I see these two little feet in the bathroom stall. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to make this awkward on Trent. I don't want to make him uncomfortable. Like, hey, dude, you just laid one on the floor. And so I'm like, I'm just going to maybe let Trent kind of try to handle this one on his own, and I'll just be there for him if he needs me. So I acted like I was just washing my hands. I'm like, hey, Trent. He's like, hey. I go, everything okay in there? He goes, yeah. I go, did you do something? He's like, no. I go, well, did you go to the bathroom in your pants? He goes, no. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that wasn't poo. Maybe that was some sort of weird chocolate throw up. And I said, did you throw up? Are you sick? And he goes, no. And I go, Trent, I go, what happened, buddy? And he goes, I don't know. I just hear, I don't know, come out of the stall. And so at this point, I'm like, okay, I've got to take care of this kid because something in him has exploded. And so I'm like, Trent, would you mind if I open the door to your stall to try to help you figure out what happened? And he's like, that's okay. And so I open the door to the stall, and Trent, okay, he's like so small, like his feet don't even touch the ground, okay? So he's sitting on the toilet, and there's like poo like on his legs, and it's on like the outside of the toilet. Like, it is like everywhere, okay? And I'm like, Trent, you know, like, what? And so I'm like, Trent, here's the plan. You go take a shower. I'm going to go get you a change of clothes and a giant fire hose. And no, not that. I'm like, Trent, you go take a shower. Don't worry about the mess. We'll clean up later. Just get yourself clean. I'm going to get you a change of clothes. And I'm like, where are your clothes? He's like, oh, they're in there. There's some shelves in the cubby. I'm like, okay. So I go back in the room, and I'm like, okay, there's potential, you know, Hershey's Kisses here. So I'm being real careful. It is dark. And so I get a little ways into the room, and I don't step on anything. So I'm like, okay, we're good to go. It was just that thing by the door. So I walk over, and his bed is like this. There's a ladder for the top bunk, and there's a little opening, and here's his bed, and then his shelves are right here. So I go, and my plan is I'm going to lean in. I'm not going to climb in his bed because I don't know what's in there. And I'm going to lean in and reach over on one foot like this. I'm going to lean up, and I'm going to grab his stuff out. And when I go to put my foot down, mother load. I did not fall. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating this for a story. Heel to toe, my entire foot was engulfed in a like cow patty of Trent poop. And I just goes, it's between my toes. It's all there. And so I lean in. Hang on. I lean in and I get Trent's clothes. And at this point, I'm like, commando. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like, I've been wounded. I'm shot. Shoot me again. It doesn't matter. So I'm like, ah. So I get his things, hop back out, hop back in, foot back up in the sink, poo off. Trent's in the shower at this point. I put Trent's clothes up and I'm like, Trent, I've got to go do something. And so I'm like, I have to figure out a way to shovel this stuff out so the rest of the cabin doesn't find out, because we don't want Trent to get in trouble. Not in trouble, but we don't want him to be embarrassed, because, you know, if you poo on the floor, it's not the coolest thing to do. And so we're like, we've got to clean this up, protect Trent's reputation with the rest of the cabin and all that. So long story short, there's a whole lot else that happened with me going into other people's cabins to try to find a flashlight. And they're like, what's wrong? Why are you in your underwear? Why do you smell like poo? And so there's this whole other stuff happened. But at the end of the day, we got in stealth. We cleaned it all up. We went back. We got Trent cleaned up. He got back in. All that the kids knew happened was that there was a wet spot on the floor and they didn't know what it was. They didn't even know it was Trent. And so Trent survived. But here was the thing. This was Tuesday night, and Trent came to camp on Sunday afternoon, and he had had Sunday night dinner, Monday breakfast, lunch, dinner, Tuesday breakfast, lunch, dinner. He had 7 meals, and he ate a lot up in his body, and he had not cleansed his system at all until then. And so Trent made the decision to eat a lot of food, and he was like too embarrassed to go to the restroom because, you know, there's like other people in the restroom while you're there. And so he'd made the decision, I'm just going to hold it. Well, the decision caught up to him when he starts sleep pooing in the middle of the night on Tuesday. When he doesn't, you know, like, he has lost control of the situation. He was not in control when he pooped on the floor, okay? He had lost all control. So he made some decisions that he was in control over, but then there was something that he couldn't make a decision about. It just happened. Do you guys see that in the story? And it wasn't pretty what happened. And I want to show you a quote in a passage of scripture. I want you to look at this quote up on the screen. This is from a guy named Stephen Covey. He says, "While we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions." Do you see how that applies to Trent? Trent was free to choose how much he would eat, how much he would go to the restroom, but what he was not free to choose was the consequence, how that would turn out for him and how it would turn out for me. It was disgusting. And let me show you a passage of scripture from Galatians 6:7. Look this up when you get home. Look at what Galatians 6:7 says. It says, "You will always harvest what you plant." All right? So what you put out there, the decisions you make, you will always get consequences that are related to that decision. So if you plant a sunflower seed, you're not going to get an oak to grow up. You're going to get a sunflower plant to grow up. Whatever seed you plant, that's what's going to grow up. And so what did Trent plant in his body? A whole bunch of food. What did he harvest? A bunch of poo. Okay? So if you plant bad decisions in your life, the consequences of those decisions, if you make decisions that are bad, the consequences are also going to be bad, and you don't get to choose them. You get to choose what you do, but you don't get to choose what you get. Does everybody understand that? And you guys all, we all, leaders and students, we're all just like Trent. And then we go through our lives and we make decision after decision after decision. He made several decisions that week. And we think, oh, you know what? I'm making decisions on my own. I'm all good. Nothing bad's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, those decisions catch up to us. And there's consequence that we don't get to choose. And you guys are all faced with that all the time, God's word says. Look at it. It says, you will sometimes harvest what you plant. No. It says, you will always harvest what you plant. So I want to talk to you about one decision this morning. One decision. Okay? And we're going to talk about, you get to make the decision about who Jesus is. And some of you guys are like tuning out now. You're like, boring, already decided, I'm done with it. Well, I just want to show you one passage of scripture real quick. Check this out. Can you put up the passage from John 14? Okay, Jesus is talking. This is Jesus, check it out. "Don't let your hearts be troubled," talking to his disciples, his friends. "Trust in God, trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going." So Jesus is saying to his disciples, hey, God is my Father. I'm going to his house. I'm going to prepare a place for you and take you there. Next verse, look at what his friends say in verse 5. "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Now, none of you guys would say that, but Thomas is like talking to this dude face to face, and this dude is saying, hey, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to take you there. And he's like, where are you going? How do we get there? I don't know what you're talking about. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, Jesus said, hey, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You've heard that verse here before if you've been here very long. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. So Jesus is saying this, if you've hung around me, you've seen God because I and God are one. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen God. So here's what they say after that in verse 8. Philip goes, wait, Lord, show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. Show us God. And Jesus is like, you idiot, I just said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Look what he says, verse 9. Jesus goes back and says, haven't I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? And I can imagine him just like thumping him on the forehead, you know, like, you idiot. And he goes, anyone, he says the same thing again, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Look, don't you believe I'm the Father and the Father's in me? The words I speak aren't my own, but the Father who lives in me who does his work through me. Look at all the claims Jesus made right here. Check this out. Throw up that list. In these verses, Jesus claimed that he is God's son. He claimed he's going to God's house. He claimed he's preparing a place for those who believe in him to go away from this earth for eternity. Okay, this is crazy stuff Jesus is talking about. You've heard it in church all your life, but stop listening to me for a second. Stop listening to me. Stop listening to your parents. Stop listening to your teachers at your Christian schools if you go to one, and start thinking about this stuff for yourself, because you've got to decide about this stuff what it means. So Philip, the guy in here, and the other guy, Thomas, they were thinking for themselves. They weren't just listening to what I was saying, what your small group leader was saying, what your parents were saying. They were thinking for themselves and questioning Jesus. Jesus claims all these things. Have you ever questioned this and thought about it for yourself? Or have you just taken it and said, okay, whatever. Yeah, this guy that was on the earth said he's going to leave the earth, prepare a place, and then come back to earth, and he's the only way to get to God. There's only one way, and he's going to take people up into some imaginary place that we've never seen, that's not on earth, it's in heaven, they call it heaven, and it's God's house. He's going to take us there someday, and that he and God are the same person this guy walked on the earth. Ever thought about it? Because here's the thing. At some point in your life, you have to make the decision about who Jesus is. And look at those claims. There's a dude walking around today. If I started claiming these things, hey guys, I'm God's son. How's it going? Right? If I started saying that, if I started saying, you know, someday I'm going to be in God's house and I'm going to prepare it and I'm going to take you and make you disappear and come there with me. You'd think I was crazy, wouldn't you? And so this guy Jesus is walking around saying these things and we don't think he's crazy because maybe we haven't really thought about it that much. But you need to think about it and go, wait, do I really believe this? Because here's the thing. A guy that says these things, Jesus, I see a couple girls taking notes. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus is either, and you can put up the next slide so they can see it. Jesus is either a liar, he's just lying about all these things. He's either a lunatic, like he's crazy and he thinks that he's really God, but he's not really. Like you've all heard about those crazy people that, you know, think that there's something special and they're not really. They lead cults and stuff. Or he really is the Lord. And you guys have to look at Jesus and decide. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. People try to say that. He made audacious, outrageous, crazy, insane claims. A good teacher does not make crazy claims. If I started claiming that I was going to make all of you guys fly, I'm like, hey guys, next week you got to be here. We're all going to fly. It's going to be sweet. We're going to jump out the windows. I'm going to break them open. We're going to fly. It's going to be awesome. You'd be like, that guy is either a liar, he's crazy, or he's a magic man and we are going to fly, okay? And you've got to decide what you would believe about me. Jesus made claims that were even crazier than that. So you've got to decide, was that guy a liar? Was he a crazy lunatic? Or is he the Lord? And you've got to decide it for yourself. Now, if you really believe that in your heart, I'm not trying to get you to go back on it. Because here's the thing, I believe he's Lord. I really do. But you don't believe it just because I believe it. Open up that book I just showed you that passage from, John, and read about him yourself. And you make the decision. You figure out who Jesus is. Now, here's the thing. Some of you guys are sitting there thinking right now, Jesus is Lord. I believe it. I've made that decision. Okay, if you have, do you act like it? Do you act like it? This is the application, okay? You've got to make an informed decision about who Jesus is, but then you've got to act like what you decide. John 14, later on, it says, if you love me, Jesus said, just later on, right after he was talking to Philip and Thomas, do we have that? If you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, obey my commands. Are you obeying Jesus? If you really believe, Jesus was not a liar. He wasn't a crazy man. He really is all the things he said he was. Then do you love him and do you obey his commands the way you live? And then also, I want to tell you this. The first thing God calls us to do to obey him, and this is real timely for where we are right now, is to be baptized and to tell other people that you believe he's Lord. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's not just a good teacher. He is God's son sent to save the world. You tell others about it. That's the first thing Christ asks us to do. Every time you see somebody believe in Jesus, he says, you know what? Tell others. Repent. Be baptized. And so look at what Acts 22:16 says. What are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized. Wash your sins away, calling on his name. You're going to talk about this in your small groups. I hope you'll think about it when you leave. Who is Jesus? If you believe Jesus is Lord, it's time to tell everybody. It's time to proclaim it. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward belief and decision that you've made. You're outwardly expressing and showing others that. And you've got a chance in 2 weeks, and we're going to hand out a little card when you leave. You've got a chance in 2 weeks, if you haven't been baptized yet, to make that declaration. Between now and then, think about it. Decide, who do you think Jesus is? Come back next week, because we're going to talk about how you can decide who you are. Who you are. You're going to make that decision next week. But this week, I want you to think about who Jesus is. And you've got to make a decision. You can't decide what time you go to bed sometimes. You can't decide whether or not you have your driver's license. But you can decide about who this man Jesus is, who claimed to be God and claimed to be the Savior of the world. And you've got to make that decision. It's an important one. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you give us the option to look at who you are. You've given us a record of who you are, and to size up whether or not we want to decide if that's true or not true, and then how we're going to act and respond to it. I thank you for that, and I thank you that you have given us a way to know you. And I thank you for Jesus, that you put him right here on earth so we can see him, and we can read about him, and we can experience what he experienced, and then we can know you through him. And I pray that every kid in this room would figure out for themselves if you were a liar, if you're a lunatic, or if you're really Lord. And I pray that if they decide you're Lord, that they would act like it and obey you. I pray that they would proclaim you and identify with you through baptism. I thank you for the ones that already have. I pray that they would continue to follow after you. And I pray the ones that haven't, that they would make that decision. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I got one announcement. I'm going to cut you loose. Connection. June is full. July is still open. There's a few spots left. I want you guys to go on this.